So let's get started, gentlemen. We're a little bit behind. We'll catch up. We are on still Yuzayin on the base towards the top by the two dots all the way at the top. They didn't get that far on the in the Sunday shiur, so we had to spend a lot of time yesterday catching up. We're getting there. Mitzvah Shem, we'll always finish the Masechta at the same time as everybody else does. So we're two dots, several lines from the top of Yud Zayin Amud, Amud Beis. So let's begin. So Shimu Elai Abirei Lev Harichokim Mitzdaku. The pasuk says, "Listen to me, you Abirei Lev, you people that are very fierce, you strong-hearted people." It says Harichokim Mitzdaku. What does it mean Harichokim Mitzdaku? That are far away from Tzdaku. So it sounds like it's a bad thing. But we have instead two interpretations over here. Rabbi Shmuel, others say Amri Lo Rav Yochanan Rav Elazar. This is the same as yesterday. That's one of the reasons why this is brought over here, because it's the same two mandiyamas. We're not sure whether it was Rabbi Shmuel having their opinions over here, or whether it's Rav Yochanan and this Talmud Rav Elazar that are having their opinions over here. And whoever it was, Chadomar Kolo and Kul Nizonim Mitzdaka. They dash in this pasuk is the whole world relies upon your Tzdaka Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not an or zechus, and not in those people's zechus, that you get all your support. It's out of the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, these people that are known as the Abirei Lev, they're the righteous, righteous individuals, they nizonim bizroa. They're able to be sustained in this world. As Rashi says in the second line from the top, bizchus shebiyodom. The pasuk here is talking about the Abirei Lev, a great, great tzaddikim. They don't rely upon the beneficence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are able to sustain themselves on their own merit, so to say. A minority of people, these Abirei Lev. So that's one interpretation. Either Rav or Shmuel said this, or Rav Yochanan or Elazar said this. The other interpretation, the other man, the Omer, V'chadamar, kol olam kulo nizonim b'schusam. The whole world is sustained by the schus of these tzaddikim. The Abirei Lev are the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to keep mankind alive, I'm going to give sustenance to the entire world. And these great tzaddikim have nothing themselves in this world. They don't even have much in this world. Like the famous Vart, what did he say? The Chol Yovel Yobatsko Yod says, now the Gersa that we have is Mehar Chorev. Many are delete this the words Mehar Chorev. Lav Dafa comes from there. This Baskol goes all over the world. A Baskol is a form of communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's less than a Nevuah, but it's still something. So a Baskol comes out from Shemayim and says, "V'omeres kol olam kulo nizonim bishul Chanina bini." Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is one of the Tanoim. He's probably the most famous Tana throughout Shas for Maisim Nifloim, according to him. He was Lamala Min Ateva. Many, many stories in Shas about how great he was, how many miracles it was, especially more in Titus lists, like page after page of miracles that occurred through Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So he was certainly Lamala Min Ateva, and the Baskol rings out every day and says, during his generation, the world is supported because of the tzchus, because of the tzidkus of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Chanina bini. That he doesn't ask for much. He supports himself. He physically eats just a little boxer, a little carob each week from every Shabbos to every Shabbos, and that's sufficient for him. He's happy with that. So these are the two different ways to understand the Abirei Lev. Either it's the individual righteous people that don't rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu for sustenance, or it's the Rechanina Mendoza sustaining the whole world with his tzidkos, and he himself has almost nothing. This, however, Pliga de Yehuda. This goes against what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda, he dashes the pasuk in a different way, in a negative way. Like the simple reading of the pasuk would be, you are birei lev harichokim mitztaka. You're far away from tztaka, which sounds like a negative connotation. And that's how Rabbi Yehuda learned it. Rabbi Yehuda, mana birei lev. Who are these birei lev over here that we're talking about? He says they're gubai tipshoy. They're the givonim. The famous story we have about the Nesinim, the Givonim, when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, so they made believe that they were the people from a faraway land. They turned out they were really from Eretz Yisrael, and he promised them he wouldn't go and destroy them, and so they made a deal. They didn't want to go back on the deal, but they were constantly kept on the outskirts of Klai Yisrael. They weren't allowed to come into Klai Yisrael, and later on in David HaMelech's days, they finalized that decree. So then the Nesinim, also known as the Givonim, are these Gubai, and the Gubai Tipshoi. Why are they called that? Amar Yossi, Teda, Dohalo Yigaya Giyur Minayu. They never had a convert from them. None of them really ever did tshuva. None of them ever really became part of Klai Yisrael. An entire nation that not one of them saw the light, so to say. And therefore, they're called Gubai Tibshoi. Amar Ravashi. Now here's a very, very interesting and powerful statement that Ravashi is going to make. B'nei Masa Mechasi, the people that lived in Masa Mechasi. Masa Mechasi was one of the metropolises of Bavel, a very wealthy, rich Jewish city. Abire Lev Ninu. They're also called these Abire Lev in a negative sense. The Kochazu Yikari Daraisa. That was the gathering place for the original Daf Yomi. Happened to mention this also during the Friday night Siyum that we had in the shul here for the conclusion of the last cycle. So this is one of the places where it's alluded to. The original Daf Yomi was by Ravashi. Ravashi lived 60 years. He actually lived longer, but his 60 years was learning Daf Yomi. So he started that they would learn a Masechta every year. It's called the Kala. They would learn a Masechta every year pre-Sukkot and a Masechta every year pre-Pesach. Tosafot says, why not Shavuos also? Because Shavuos was too short. The people didn't all gather together. It's only one day. But because they took off so many days to Sukkot, so many days to Pesach, so they gathered together and they learned. And they picked the Masechta, and they did. They're roughly 60 Masechtas in Shas. So they did for 30 years a Masechta Erev Sukkot, a Masechta Erev Pesach. And that was called his Madura Kama. Then they repeated it. That's called his Madura Tinyana, his second recycling or going through the Daf Yomi. So the first Daf Yomi was a 30-year cycle. And he did it twice. And this is what it's talking about over here. He gathered in Masa Mechasia. So they had the huge Daf Yomi celebration. Right? The people, you have this, all the stories coming out now about the police and the security people over at MetLife. And they said, oh, unbelievable. You know, not a single person was drunk and everybody said hello to them and everybody was nice. And, you know, all the stories coming out that the Kiddush Hashem was made. Forget the learning at the Daf Yomi, the way that people acted at the Daf Yomi. So they're impacted. The guards, the security people, the police, everybody associated with this, they were positively impacted by the Daf Yomi. They had nothing to do with the Daf Yomi, but the people who went there. So these people in Masa Mechasi, they saw the Daf Yomi gathering twice a year. Trei Zimni Bishasa, Beloku Megahir, Giyura Minayu. And not one of them, amongst the non-Jewish people there, said, wow, this is it. So they saw for 60 years an unbelievable, you know, Kiddush Hashem, and yet they didn't have the intelligence, they didn't have the strength, if you wish, of character, to go and see the light and be Megayah. So that's what it means over there. They saw, and yet they're Rechokum Yitztokum. Fine. Next, then it said in the Mishnah, Chas and Nimrod, Silikos Uchule, that we talked about, Can Chas and read Kriya Shemana. So the name of the Rav Shimon Gamliel, Chayish Liyuara. So Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah said, no, the Chosin can't read Kriya Shema because he's basically saying over here, the rest of the nights I read with such great kavanah, and tonight I can't because I'm Torah B'mitzvah, so therefore I can't read Kriya Shema tonight. So he said, you shouldn't go and do that. Nobody should read Kriya Shema that night, with the exception of maybe individual Yechidim that are very, very great. And Rabbanu said, yeah, if you want to read Kriya Shema, you can. So Rabbanu, look, Aishel Yor, they're not afraid that somebody's going to look arrogant over here and taking up this idea that he's saying Kriya Shema. Shmuel says, Va'ivcha Shamin Alu, we have the exact opposite shita seemingly elsewhere, where Shimon Gamliel is not concerned about Yuhara, and the Chachamim are concerned about Yuhara, being arrogant. Where is that? It's not. So we have the famous Gemara in Psachim, in Mokum Shinagu. It goes to various customs in different places. They had this custom, they had that custom. So one of them was, Mokum Shinagu lasses Mokum Tisha B'Av, Osin. Places that had the custom that you're allowed to work. There's no issa to work on Tisha B'Av. So some places, they allow people to work. That was the custom. They allow people to work on Tisha B'Av. So you're allowed to do that, Osin. And Mokum Shinagu Shalom lasses, if the minhag of the town is not to do work on Tisha B'Av, so you shouldn't open up your store. Don't do work on Tisha B'Av. Ain't Osin. But in every place, a Talmud Chacham should spend his day thinking of the loss of the tremendous loss of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and not spend his time in the shop, not spend his time in the field. So a Talmud Chacham in all places. That's the Chacham's opinion. In other words, not everybody should be a Talmud Chacham. Only certain people should be Talmidei Chachamim. So the Mechzik Yuara, look at Yuara if you didn't go to work. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. That seems to go against what they said over here. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Oh, Meliol, yes, and Kol Adam is asking Talmud Chacham. No problem. You want to say you're Talmud Chacham? You're Talmud Chacham for this. You don't need to pass a fahar. You don't need to get tested in any way. Anybody can say I'm a Talmud Chacham, not working. So he's not Mechzik Kiyora. So we have Kasher Rabbanon Rabbanon, Kasher Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They seem to each have flipped sides. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here is not concerned. In Shema he is. The Rabbanon over here are concerned, and in Shema they're not. So what's going on?" Some of Yochanan, he gives a simple terrace. Yeah, flip around the appellations over here. Don't say that it was Rav Shimon Gamliel who said that this opinion. It's really Rav Shimon Gamliel who said not everybody can be a Talmud Chacham. And therefore, he's consistent. Flip around the shitas. We don't like to do that unless we have to. Rav Yochanan said there's no alternative over here. There's no way to reconcile it. So therefore, it must be a mistake in the girsa. Rabbi Shisha Bered the Ravid, he said, no, Omali Olam Lo Tachluk, leave things the way they are. And in fact, there's no contradiction. The Rabbanon and the Rabbanon Lokasha. Why did the Rabbanon over here say that anybody that wants to be a Talmud Chacham Gezunt Eid can and don't work on Tisha B'Av? And by Shema, he said, no, you can't. Why is that not a kashin, like contradiction? Kriyashma, by saying Kriyashma, Kivin the Kuliyama Kokoru, the Unami Kari, Lomersa Kiora. Everybody's at the Chosin's Tish Davni Marv. Well, he's Davni Marv too. He doesn't stand out. He doesn't look arrogant. Everybody's Davni Marv. So he's Davni Marv also. What's the big deal? So it doesn't stand out. I, working? Everybody else going to work, and he's sitting at home, and he's sitting on his porch on the floor reading Echa. Oh, he's a tzaddik. So, Echa, Kivin, the Kuliyama, Abdim Locha, the Ulokade, Mersi Kiorba. He looks arrogant. Everybody else going to work, and you're the only guy that's not going to work? So it looks arrogant. That's too much of a distinction, too much of a difference. Mersi Kiorba. That's why the Rabbanan is not a kasha. One place it doesn't look bad. Everybody else is Davi Marv, so he's Davi Marv too. Here, everybody else is not working, and he's working. So that everybody else is working, and he's not working, it looks bad. Finally, the Rishon Gamliel, Rishon Gamliel, Nami Lo Kasha. It's also not a Kasha over here. Why not? Hasam Bechavon Etayimilso. By Shema, everybody knows he's a Chassid. And they say, wow, he's davening. He's able to muster Kavani even on a day like this. Wow, what a great guy. Oh, Merci Kiyora. It looks arrogant for him to do that. Vanan Sadi, the Lo Mati Le Kavune, Daite. And we don't think he can really do that. So he looks arrogant. However, Abul Hocha, by not going to work, guess what? There are people that are out of work. There are people that take the day off. The people that, you know, don't feel so well. Avohocha over here, Roa, Haroa, somebody sees some Avalachu Denlo. He didn't have work. That's why he's not going to work. Not because he's such an arrogant person. Pukhazi, go take a look. Kama Batloni, Ika Bashuka. Look at the unemployment rates. 5%, 10%, whatever the employment rate. So he's one of the unemployed. So it doesn't show any arrogance over here by not going to work. Hadrin lecha yakari, hadrin lecha yakari, hadrin lecha yakari. Now we begin the third parak. Baruch Hashem, we got two parakim under everybody's belt. And dafyomi, that's a chazak according to the way we paskin, according to one opinion. So we have a chazak, you got to continue now, you got two parakim under your belt. Misha mei samuta lefonov. This begins. If somebody Nebuch, now we're going to deal a lot with halachos of avelos. By the way, Rashi had his gear so that this is actually the fourth parak. He had the next parak coming right over here. Tosa says, no, the order that we have is the correct order, and that's in fact the way the Gemara is laid out. In any event, Misha Mesa Muta Lufanov. Somebody has Nebuch, his mace is right in front of him. He's one of the seven relatives that you have to sit Shiva for. Your parents, Rachman al Itzlan, children, Rachman al Itzlan, male, female, that's four, a brother, a sister, and Rachman al Itzlan, a spouse. So all seven are called the Zayin Krovim. You have to sit Shiva for them. So you have to take care of the burial needs. You're responsible for them. So you have Nebuch, Misha Mesa Muta Lufanov. Somebody has the person who they have to bury in front of them. So Patami Kriyashma, that person is exempt from saying Kriyashma. Now the different Gersos, so we have, just read the Gersa that we have, the Bach takes some things out, they're obvious and not obvious, whatever, we'll just read the Gersa that we have. He's part of saying Kriyashma, the person who's taking care of the needs of the mace. Minat Tvila, he doesn't have to say Shmona Esrei, again, Tvila always means Shmona Esrei. Or Minat Tvilin, he doesn't put on Tvilin. Or we call Mitzvah Samuris B'Torah, and he doesn't have to do any Mitzvah Sasei. Unfortunately, we'll point out, he can't go kill somebody, he can't go eat trade. You're not allowed to do a low Sasei during that period of time. It's not like you're exempt from everything. You're Torud. So you're torrid in taking care of the needs of the mace. That doesn't mean you get to eat lobster. So you're not allowed to do a low sasei, but obviously all the assays, you can't get the guy to go to Minyan. He's busy digging the grave. He's busy talking with the Chaver Kedisha. So the guy is parted from all positive commandments.
How do you know it's positive? Might we not think that because he's in a hurry, he doesn't have to worry about the food because he has to eat?
Well, what happens if he didn't eat? Nothing would happen if he didn't eat. He didn't eat. So you can't ask to transgress something, to actively go and transgress something, no matter how torrid you are, that won't be it. Okay? Shabbos, not allowed to do anything. So that's why Shabbos, you do all the mitzvos. But if you're not involved over here, then you're exempt from all the positive commandments. God doesn't expect you to do anything when you're osek b'mitzvah. You're osek the mitzvah of the mace. But you can't do a negative thing. You can't go kill somebody. Well, that guy's in my way. I think I'm just going to, you know, knock him out of the way, push him into the street because he's in my way. I'm in a rush. So that you can't do. Okay, so no semita. What about the people helping out over here? The pallbearers, right? The people that are carrying the aron. So no semita v'chilu fehen, and the people that switch off. They didn't have hearses and carry people. They had to walk 2 miles to the cemetery, or maybe longer. They got tired carrying a heavy coffin, so they would switch off. And everybody also wanted to be osek with the mitzvah, right? V'chilu v'chilu fehen. Then the replacements are the replacements. So all of these people, eshalifne amita, the eshalacha amita, those that are before the mitzvah and after the mitzvah. Rashi explains this as saying those that already carried and those that didn't yet carry. So the ones that carried, they're less likely to be needed again, but they still might be needed again. The ones that haven't yet carried are going to be needed again. Tosfos has a different explanation over here. It just says those that are needed, those that are not needed. And anyway, eshalifnei amita, those that over here have already carried, eshalifnei amita, tzorach ben peturim. So they're the ones that already carried, there's the mistama, they can say Shema, they can do all these things because they're not going to be needed probably. And the ones that haven't yet done it, they're going to be needed. But nobody has to daven Shemona Esrei. That's too much. Even the people that already carried, and they still may be needed, you can't have them do a 10-minute Shemona Esrei and they suddenly need them. So Shema, which takes a shorter period of time, that they can say. Now they buried the dead person, v'chazu, and now they're returning. If they're coming back over here and there's still time to say Kriya Shema, so until they go to the lines that we make, we do this also. We line up the people and we say Amoki Minache. So they had the Shura as well. And if there still was time over here, they could say Kriya Shema before the end of this month. But when they're lining up for the Shura, Yaskilu, they can say Kriyashma. The Imlah, lo Yaskilu, they can't start. We'll see in the Gemara, will tell us what does it mean, start, not
they
start.
Are only the pallbearers.
This is the pallbearers. This is the pallbearers we're talking about. The people that the assistant. So the Avil also, Mestama, if he's now Mechuyev and Mitzvahs as well, once the burial is complete. Ha'omdim b'shura apnimi and peturim. Those that are on the inside, they didn't get a chance to say it, now they're on the inside. So they're the ones that are actually seeing the Avel. They're the ones that are actually saying, Amokim and Achim Ischem, and Vachitzonim Chayavim. But the ones that can't, in the first two rows, they can still see the Avel. Behind that, they're not really seeing the Avel. They're not really accomplishing anything. They're there, so they're supporting the Avel, but they're allowed to go and say Kriyashma. Now, the next part over here is true, but it doesn't belong over here. It's really the next Mishnah, and since we're going to discuss it, a couple of daffin later, so the proper gears is to read this later on, but it's correct. So we'll explain this when we get to Daf Chaf, which is where the right place for this end of the Mishnah is. It's correct, but just in the wrong place. Okay. Mutal lefon of in. The Gemara is telling us, the Mishnah is telling, suggesting over here, it's only if the mace is right in front of us. Mutal lefon of in. V'sheinu mutal lefon of lo. But if the mace is not in front of you, then these restrictions don't apply. You are saying kriyashma, you are doing it. So it's only if you're right with the mace in front of you. Is that true? Rimini, I'll show you another braisa, Moyed Cotton. Misha mace mutal lefon of. If the mace is right in front of you, you're not allowed to eat in front of the mace. It's pasnish. It's totally disrespectful to eat in front of the mace. So go eat in the house next door. You don't have a house next door. So go eat in your friend's house. You don't have a friend next door. The person's not supposed to necessarily starve. So he puts up a mechitza. You have to make some sort of a separation from you and the mace, and then you can eat. You can't make a mechitza. There's nothing here to make a mechitza with. So maxim pun of yocha. You just turn away from the mace and you can eat. But even in that situation, there ain't no mace of ocha. You don't recline and eat like they used to recline and eat. That's, again, inappropriate behavior. You knew you have to eat. You're not supposed to starve. You don't have to fast. So you turn away and you eat in a sitting position and not in a reclining position. And likewise, and this is halacha l'maisa, the onein, the person who hasn't yet buried his dead, then ochel basi no shos yayin. These are the two restrictions over here. The understanding is that if you have wine and meat, you're gonna, be in a condition that you may not take care fully of the needs of the mace. Well, it says that the reason for yayin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us the reason for yayin was because of avelus, but you're not a novel yet. You're an onein. There's a difference in halacha between an onein and a novel. And an onein shouldn't be having meat and shouldn't be having wine because that's going to make him, very complacent and very satisfied and is not going to take care of the needs of the mace properly. So he's restricted on those. He's going to have a peanut butter sandwich. That's no problem. You can eat whatever you else need to do except for wine and meat. You don't make any brachos. It's very strange. Anybody who has been in that situation is very strange. You're taught your whole life, don't eat something, don't put anything in your mouth without making a bracha. And here you're consciously putting something in your mouth without making a bracha. It's a very strange and unusual sensation. So he doesn't make a bracha. He can't be included in zimun. He doesn't. If there's three brothers, they're eating over here, they're all avelim, so they don't make a zimun together. And nobody else has to make a bracha for them. You don't have to listen. Okay, I can't make the bracha. Let me listen to somebody else. No. Vayim mezamin alav, and nobody else can include this. Two other people there that are friends. They're with him, and they're all having the peanut butter sandwiches now. So they say, Rabbi Sayin Abrech, no, you can't do that. He doesn't count. You need three people. So he doesn't count. Vayim mezamin alav. Upar to be kriyashma. He doesn't have to say kriyashma. Minat tefillah. He doesn't say shmoneh esrei. Minat tefillah. He doesn't put on tefillin. As we learned, the whole first day you don't put on tefillah, not only even the aninas, that's the one thing that carries over even to the avelus the first day. Or we call mitzvah samuris b'torah. That's on a regular weekday when you're torahed in the needs of the mace. Or be Shabbos, on Shabbos, what do you do? Mace of yochel basim shos yayin. Shabbos, unfortunately, happens all the time. You get this question. The person dies late Friday afternoon or even Friday night, and they don't bury on Friday. They can't. So they bury on Sunday. So what do you do on Shabbos? Shabbos, they make kiddush. Shabbos, they eat meat. They have the challah. They're a regular person because they're not tarred in the mace. You can't take care of the of the tzarchei mace on Shabbos. So therefore, they can eat wine. They can eat meat, drink wine. They can recline. Mavarech, they make all the brachos before and afterwards. Umezamein, they can be included in benchy. They're part of the benchy. Mavarech and alav, somebody else can be yotzi them. Umezamein alav, they're included in the zimun. V'chai v'chol mitzvos omer the Torah. And they have to do all mitzvos in the Torah because they're not tarred of the mace. They're not allowed to do tzarchei mace at that point in time. Now, on the slide, it says that the gears should be over here, Rabbi Gamliel, not Rashi Gamliel. In any event, whoever it was, Rashi Gamliel or Rabbi Gamliel, Omer, Mitoshin, Nischayev Be'elu, Nischayev Be'kula. If the Chayev over here, in these mitzvahs, the Chayev in everything. So Gemara says, obviously, it's an aside over here. What do you mean? What other mitzvahs? He said, Shara mitzvahs, and he's saying all the other mitzvahs, so what's he talking about? Omer Yochanan, might be Nayah, what's the difference between the Tanakam and Rashi Gamliel? Tashmish Amita Ikranayah. In things in private, a husband-wife relationship, can you have relations with your wife? That's what they're arguing about. Now, Rashi explains over here, the Rabbi Shimon says, Yechayev, Ovel ba'ona b'Shabbos. The Ovel, if that's the night that his wife went to the mikveh, is a chayev to have relations with her. So, he's mechayev, even though he's in Avelus, that Friday night, to go and have relations with his wife. Whereas the Tanakhama says, no, that's still something that's inappropriate for this matzav that he's in right now, and therefore, he cannot. So that's the difference between the two opinions over here. Bottom line is, Tani Nias, part of me, Kriyashman, Matvilim, and Matvilim, Michal Mitzvah, Samuris, Matorah. It says over here, even if you're not with the mace, it's all the time. And we said in our Mishnah, it's only Meso, Mutal, Lufanov. So it seems to be a steerer from this Bryce and Moed Cotton to our Mishnah. So I'm a pop, but no. Tirgumar, that this last part that he's part through in all of these things is only while he's B'meis or Mutal Lufanov. Amaksu Ponov Yochal. That's only talking about when he's in the room with the mace. So in those situations, he's part through. But if he's not in the room with the mace, it's not Meis or Mutal Lufanov, then the Brysa in Moed Katan agrees with our Mishnah that you are obligated in all of those things. That's not the halacha. We follow Ravashi. Ravashi Mar. No, Kivan Shemutalov Lukovro. It doesn't mean literally in front of you. It means it's in front of you as a responsibility. On Mishnah, when it says Mesa Muta Lefanov, doesn't mean you're literally 5 feet from the mace. It means I haven't yet buried the mace that the person Rahman al-Islam has to bury. So it means that the obligation is upon him. The obligation is in front of him. He may be at the funeral parlor, working with the Chavra Kadisha, working with the cemetery. So he's 2 miles away from where the mace is. But that's called Mesa Muta Lefanov, Ravashi says. And Kivush Muta Lal of the Kavro, Kimuta Lefanov Dami. It's his responsibility, so it's as if he's right there. And if he's right there, you're not allowed to do this, so this is considered right there. So therefore, that's how you reconcile that all the time that the person is in the aninus over here on a weekday, he is exempt from doing all the mitzvahs asay. So the obvious question is, what happens if you're not dealing with it? So Tosfos, the beautiful long Tosfos, I always tell you, the long Tosfos are the easier Tosfos, and they have chock full of information. So short Tosfos, you got to be careful, my Rabbam always taught me. In any event, at the end of this Tosfos, he brings down the famous story, could I look inside, 5-6 lines from the end of the top Tosfos over here on Yud Chesam and Aleph. By the way, the Chadash Mekam Yishonim points out it's no coincidence that this daf is daf chai, Yud Ches, because deals with a lot of laws of Avelus. So every now and then, you find that the post can bring down that there's a rhyme and a reason to the numbering over here, even though it wasn't necessarily set up by Rebbe to be numbered in this way, but when the Dufus got printed, so there's a rhyme or reason sometimes, also a good mnemonic to help you remember, daf chai deals a lot with the laws of Avelus. So it's a helpful mnemonic sometimes. Anyway, at the end of this Tosos, about 5-6 months at the end of the Tosos, it says over here, Meister Shemesa Chosu Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was Rashi's grandson. So he was the younger brother. The Rashbam was the older brother. The Rashbam learned a lot with Rashi, and that's why the Rashbam never, or almost never, argues with Rashi. Rashi Shlita said that the Rabbeinu Tam was never really around. He was younger, and Rashi died before the Rabbeinu Tam really had a chance to learn with him. So as opposed to his brother, the Rashbam, the Rabbeinu Tam all the time argues with Rashi, because he didn't learn with him. So the Rashbam learned with Rashi, so there's much more coordinated with the Shitas, as opposed to Rabbeinu Tam, who didn't say, disagree with the Zayda, you're allowed to. If you're Rabbeinu Tam, you're allowed to disagree with Rashi. So in any event, it says, one time Rabbeinu Tam's sister died, and it was on Shabbos. For deal of Motzi Shabbos, they told him Motzi Shabbos. He would have a fleishah gemalav avomauka. So she was in Ir Acheres. She was in another city. So what did he do? He's in Aninus. So v'alcha basa v'shasa yayin. He had a flesh of a lava malk anyway. He said, so one of the obligations of the husband is to bury the wife. It's a din in the ksuba. He gets certain rights in her properties because he's going to bury her. So therefore, he has an obligation. So the Rabbeinu Tam said, my brother-in-law is taking care of this. I live in a different city. I'm far away. Ain't no asa, but what's of the ayin? He's not usher in any of these things. In other words, he has to do all the obligations because he's not tarid b'mitzvah. And it's possible that he would have said the same thing if he was in the city. It happened to be that he was in a different city. So there's this whole question. If a person is not Osek Torah, he hands over the keys to the entire cemetery burial to his brother or sister or to the Chevra Kedisha, and he's really sitting there doing nothing. So there is an opinion that says that he is in that situation obligated to do all the mitzvahs. We don't pass like that. We think the normative halach is if somebody's in Aninus, so then they don't normally do all of the mitzvahs I say. Okay, anyway, very interesting Rabbeinu Tam. They also say that on that Shabbos, the next Shabbos, when he was still in Avelus, so he got Shlishi, because he got Shlishi all the time, so that would look like getting Avelus before Hesi on Shabbos, which we don't do. We normally don't give an Avel and Aliyah during the week of their Avelus, but he got Shlishi every time, so if he didn't get Shlishi, it would be Avelus before Hesi. Okay, in any event, how do we know over here that this din that Rav Ashi told us, that it's like the Mesa's Mutul in front of you at all times? So we learn that from no less than Avram Avinu. So he says, where do we see this from? Rav Ashi Amar Kivish Mutul Lola Likovro Kimutul Vonav Dalmi Shenemar Vayokam Avram Me'alpenei Meso. When he's burying Sarah, Yimeinu V'nemar V'ekbro Abisi Milfonoi, I want to bury her. Now he's talking to Ephron and the Bnei Ches, not with Sarah's body in front of him. Kos Man Shemutul Lola Likovro Kimutul Vonav Dalmi. So therefore, you see from here this idea that even though she physically wasn't in front of him, he's called it Vekro Mesi Milfonai, from in front of me, even though she physically wasn't in front of him, mentally she was in front of him, and that's where Rav Ashi got his din from. And that's the Halacha L'maisa. Now the Gemara says, it only talks about here Meso, if you have the Meso over here in. Avo Mishamro, if it's your mace, Meso, so if you're the Zion Krovim, so then these exemptions apply. Avo Mishamro, if you're the guy that's doing the Shmira, we try not to leave the body alone. So therefore, there's the Shomrim that are there, they're saying Tilim, whatever they're doing over there by the mace. So they are not exempt, they're also dealing with the mace. So the Gemara says, lo. So Avo Mishamro, lo. The Gemara says, no, that's not true. Vatanya, we learn in the Braisa, HaMishamro is a mace, the one who's doing the Shmira on the mace, Avo Mishamro mace, so is part of it, even though it's not your relative, but the person who's doing the Chesed, he's the Chevra Kedisha, sends him to stay by the funeral parlor and he stays there overnight, and he's saying Tilim all night. So that person is also exempt from going to Minyan that morning, saying Kriya Shema, etc. He's involved with the mace. So how can you tell me it's only Meso? So the Gemara answers, says the answer is Mishamro, the Shomer, Afa Pisheno Meso, and Meso, Afa Pisheno Mishamro. So that's what we're talking about, even if you're not doing it. So the guy's in bed, somebody else is doing the Shmira, the Chevra Kedisha is arranging the bringing the body to the funeral parlor is arranging to bring the body to the cemetery is opening up the grave, this guy's doing nothing. Nevertheless, if it's your mace, you're parted from all of these things because you're still torahed in it. And even if it's not your mace, but you're torahed in it, so then you're parted. The guy from the Chevra Kedisha who's sitting there doing Shmira, he's parted from these things as well. So it's both. It's not the one to the exclusion of the other. Meso, even if it's not Mishamro. Mishamro, even if it's not Meso.
So if you're in another town.
So that's the Rebbeinu Tam. He says, so do we paskin like that or not? That's the whole question in the post. And we seem not to Lemaisa paskin like that. Okay. Meso u'mishamro in. So that implies either meso or mishamro, these don't apply to. Avo mahalech b'veis ha'kfaru slo. But if a guy's walking in a cemetery, then he does have to wear tefillin. He does have to say kriyat shema. He does have to daven, etc. Is that true? V'atanya, but we learned, lo yahalech odu b'veis ha'kfaru u tefillin v'rosho. You're not allowed to wear tefillin in a cemetery. The Sefer Torah is or carry a Sefer Torah with you. V'kore, and read the Sefer Torah. The Moshe over Mishum Loi L'Rosh Chayiv Olseyu, and you're over this pasuk in Mishlei that says you're like embarrassing, you're making fun of the dead people. Ha ha ha! And it doesn't literally mean that you're saying that, but they're not able to do mitzvos. The Meisik Choshim in the mitzvos, and I'm walking around lording it. Ha! I can still wear tefillin. I can still say Kriya Shema, and you can't. Even though he's not actually saying that, that's the appearance that it gives off. I'm demonstrating I can still do mitzvahs, and you can't. So who's the Rosh? Who's the poorest person? The dead person. So you're making fun, so to say, Loig LaRosh. And that gets Hashem upset. Chayrif will say, you're getting Hashem upset. What, you think you're going to be here forever, that you're going to do these things? So it's an inappropriate posture that you should wear tefillin in a cemetery. That's why people tuck their tzitzis in. Those that wear their tzitzis out, you're supposed to tuck them in the cemetery. What's that? What? Yeah.
So there's tumah,
but you'll have to wear your tefillin. Your tefillin don't have a din necessarily of tumah and tara, right? Right. We're tumah mace, right? We're all tumah mace. We wear our tefillin, not a problem. Yeah.
It doesn't make you exempt. Just don't go to the cemetery with your tefillin.
So, but somebody who's there has to take them off. That's the point. They used to wear the tefillin all day. You have to understand. They didn't daven in the cemetery, but they wear the tefillin all day. But you go to the cemetery, you have to take it off. But you're not meso, and you're not mishamro. So here it says you have to. So it's not only meso, mishamro. That's the kasha. So when it says, no, the din is, hosam derech toch arba amos hu diosur. Chutz di arba amos chayiv. The difference is that with the cemetery, the, quote, the loeg l'rosh aspect is only when you're within dalet amos of the actual kever. But if you're walking in a cemetery, right? The cemeteries have roads, and you're walking in the road in the middle, and you're not within dalet amos of either side, or you're by the, you know, the building, and the building doesn't have graves right around it. So there, if a person wanted to, he could say Kriyat Shema. If a person wanted to, he could go and learn over there. That's allowed. But within the dalet amos of the grave, that's improper. So how do we do it? How do we people say tillim by a graveside? How do people say a drasha by a graveside? So the answer is, if it's covered to the mace, then you're allowed to. So you can say a hesped at the graveside. You can say divrei Torah at the graveside. You can say tillim at the graveside. That's covered to the mace. So that's not called loig l'rosh. But if you're doing your daf yomi at the graveside, I got to be here, okay, do the daf yomi over here. So then that's not proper. Do it more than four dalet amos away from the graveside. The amamar, mace tof is dalet amos l'kriyashma. Hocho. So, in regards to the cemetery, it's only dalet amos. But hocha, by our case of the person whose mace was mutalafonov, mishama mutalafonov, so then chutz dalet amos nami potter. Even if you're more than dalet amos away, you're still potter. That's the idea that's expressed over here. Now we go gufa. Whenever we have gufa, we repeat an entire section. So gufa, we just said, Hamashamer is a mace, the person who's watching doing shmir on the mace, Av bishayno mace, so even though it's not his mace, he has no relationship to the person, he's doing a chesed, so nevertheless, potmi kriyat shema, uminatvilu, 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 sumuris b'toru. Fine. That's the din that we just brought down, that's true. What happens if there's two guys doing shmira? So we need one guy to do shmira. You don't want to leave the mace alone. But there are two guys over there. They keep each other company. So while one guy is doing shmiri, the other guy can put on tefillin and say, Kriyat Shema Shemoneh Esrei. Then they switch off. So that's what it tells us. So Yushnayim, Zeh Mishamah, Zeh Koreh. One guy can do the shmiri, the other guy can read. Zeh Mishamah, then they switch off, Zeh Koreh. So Ruvain does shmira first, and Shimon says Shema. Then Shimon does shmira, and Ruvain says Shema. Perfectly good. Benazi Omer, Hayubam Besvina. They're carrying the mace on a boat, right? The mace is in this town, and they're bringing it to that town to buy a boat. So minicha b'zavazu, they can bring the mace to a corner of the boat, umispalum shneim b'zavasacheres, and they can move away, more than dalet amos away from the mace, and then they can both daven. You don't have to say, you watch the mace, and I'll daven, and you then I'll watch the mace, and you daven. No, on the boat, there's no concern. They can move both away. They don't have to be right there for the shmira. Might be nayu. The Tanakhama seems to say, even on a boat, you have to do that, alternate. Why does Benazi say you don't have to alternate? So, Amar Ravina, the question between them is, choshin li'achbar ikum benayu. Ma'aseh v'chayshin and ma'aseh v'lochayshin. Are you afraid that there are mice on the boat that will, you know, nebuch, attack the mace, they eat the mace, rachmona litzlan? So, the Tanakhama says, I'm concerned about that. And Benazi says, no, on a boat, we're not concerned about that. In a place, you would be concerned about it, but not on a boat. So that's the machlokas between them over here.
Why do we need shmira?
So it's a physical and as well a metaphysical idea. The mace is the concept of the neshama leaving the body we had previously can be very painful. So every step of the way, the neshama is more removed from the body. When the person dies, the neshama leaves the body. It's still, quote, hovering around, whatever that means. So at the time of the hespedim, it says the mace can hear the hespedim, so to say. So the Holy Gemara is going to have a question. Are the hespedim for the people alive or for people that are dead? Then when they do the burial, the mace goes to a certain distance. At the end of the shiva, the mace is a certain distance. At the end of the shlosh, a certain distance. At the end of the year, the mace is in Shemayim. That's going to be the rest of the Gemara on the Omid Beis. Well, if we get to it, what does the mace know about this world once they're removed from this world? So again, these are very deep ideas that we only repeat what the Gemara, at least I only can repeat what the Gemara says, not fully comprehending the depths of what Chazal are telling us. Tanur Rabban, Hamolach Atzomus Mimokum L'mokum. You're carrying the body, the bones, from one place to another place. Harezeh Lo, Yitnim B'diskia. So they're moving their body for whatever the reason. So you can't put it in the side saddle bags. This year's two socks. So they used to have a double saddle bag, you know, one on the left of the horse, one on the right of the horse, and that would balance it out. So don't put the bones in the sack that you're sitting right on there on the saddle and on the sacks. Because that's a bizoyant, that you're sitting on the bodies, the bones, you're uprooting the bones from place A to move the bones to place B. So it's bizoyant to go and sit on top of the sacks that have the bones inside of them. However, if you're concerned that you're going to be attacked and this is the only safe place that you can protect yourself, so if you're having a different position, you won't be able to protect the bones or yourself, so then they list him from robbers or from goyim, so mutter, then it's allowed. So it's only the bizayon if it's a bizayon. If you're doing it here to protect the bones, to protect yourself, then it's not a bizayon, then it's allowed to be done. It's a little bit like the tillim at the graveside. If you're doing it to cover the mace, it's allowed. If you're saying this is my regular learning, that you shouldn't do within the Dalet Amos. At the similar din, the same halacha with the carrying of the bones, you shouldn't sit on them, you shouldn't sit on a Sefer Torah as well that you're carrying. Gemara says, ahai, what exactly are you telling me over here? And at the same din as the Sefer Torah. Ilema reisha, it's the first part, that don't sit on the bones and don't sit on a Sefer Torah. So pshito, I need you to tell me that. Migar Sefer Torah miyatzamos. We treat the Sefer Torah with less respect than we do bones? So of course, if I can't sit on the bones, I can't sit on the Sefer Torah. Why do you need to tell me that? So Gemara says, you're right, it's not on the Reisha. Ela Sefer, it's on the second part. That even a Sefer Torah, the only way you can protect it, the only way you can give it proper shmira would be to sit on it, and that's the only way. So then you'd even be allowed to in that situation. Right, so it may have been that they were moving the bones. A guy died over there, and now they want to bring him to Kever. They want to bring him to the family plot. So you're allowed to, under certain reasons, for certain situations, you're allowed to inter bones. They want to bury somebody in Eretz Yisrael. They have this all the time in Ebuch in Europe. The Goyim, they destroy the cemetery, so they want to bring certain tzaddikim, people that would be willing to spend the money and do that. You know, Nebuch families can do it also, but you don't normally have that same success. So they want to rebury certain tzaddik and bring them different places. So if it's for the covet of the base, you're also allowed to do that. So here, that's Mustama what they're talking about. That's why they're talking about bones. But theoretically, the same thing would be with the body as well.
Didn't they do that? Didn't they bury it and then a year later?
So sometimes they used to do that also. They didn't have room. So not a new thing that there's no room in Eretz Yisrael. They're talking about new burial types of chambers in Eretz Yisrael. So they used to have that problem then also. So they would sometimes bury the body, it would desiccate, and then they could fold up the bone, so to say, and put it in a much smaller area in the family kuch, in the family walls. So it would take much less space. Again, so it's allowed. Again, anything that's done for covenant mace is usually allowed. You'll have to delay a burial of covenant mace, etc. But we don't do things that for our cover, for our ease, for our pleasure, so to say. So that's the general rule. There are always lots of exceptions. Amar Rachba, Amar Rav Yehuda. So others have the gear. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. If you see a funeral procession going and you don't stop what you're doing and turn around and walk in that direction, again, it's you're disparaging the mace. Ha! I can walk and you can't. So you give them covered by turning around and walking with them. And if you do this, what's your schar? All of a cause of Omer. You're doing this over here. You're malava the mace over here. So you're giving chonin dal. You're giving the dal. The poorest person is the mace. So this HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very happy about. It's like you're lending Hashem. And again, the same idea that you're giving a nicety to this person that has nothing. So that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu very happy. So this is the halacha l'maisa. This is why we even lav the mace. If you can't go to the funeral, right? If you can't go to the cemetery, so people say we walk behind the hearse. At least dalet amos. That's where this comes from. You should know if the hearse is going in one direction, you're driving a car in the other direction. I'm not suggesting that you make a U-turn and get yourself into a crash. But ideally, l'chatchila, you should at least stop your car if you can. Again, the driving it's different. But if you're walking, and you're walking in this direction, you're passing Boulevard, and there's a procession coming out, you should walk behind the procession. I don't know the guy or anything. You should walk behind the procession if you can. Or at least you should stop and wait dalet amos and then continue your going. Again, if somebody's running into the hospital, it's on the way to the hospital, it's a different story. Okay. Rav Chiya, Rav Yonason. These two great people over here, Havu Shaklev Azli Bevesak Forest, they were going in the Besak Forest over here. And what were they doing over there? Mustafa, they were doing some sort of a mitzvah. Havu Koshadya Techelta, the Rav Yonason. And Rav Yonason's tzitzis, they always called the tzitzis trailers because they had the component of trailers in them. But that's a euphemism, not just for the trailer strings, that's for the whole tzitzis. So the tzitzis were dragging on the ground. So Rav Yechiya tells him, Amalei Rav Chiya, Dalya, he said this idea of Loig L'Rosh. Oh, you're making fun of us. You're dragging your tzitzis on our coffin. You're going to be here tomorrow also. Not dafka, literally. But so don't do this. It's loig l'rosh. It's, again, it's improper way. That's halach l'maisa. People, the way that tzitzis out, so they tuck them in when they go to a cemetery. It's loig l'rosh. You don't have to take your tzitzis off. You'll have to wear them underneath. We wear a talis cotton. You don't have to take your tzitzis off. That's not called loig l'rosh. It's underneath your garment. But if the tzitzis, the strings are out, people wear their tzitzis out, so then you should tuck them in when you go to a cemetery. Ah, so that's a whole Gemara today. A whole Gemara now. The rest of the Gemara is going to discuss that. Omi yade kule hai. Do the mason really know? They care that your tzitzis are touching them over there? Vaksiv. So this Rav Yonah's response, Rav Chi says, Vamesim, enem yodim numa. They don't know anything. The Pasuk in Tilim says that they don't know, in Kohelet, they don't know anything. So Amalei, Rav Chi responds to him, Im Karisa, if you learn this Pasuk in Kohelet, lo shenisa, you didn't learn it twice. Im shenisa, lo shilashta, you didn't learn it three times. And if you did learn it three times, lo shilashta, so lo pirshulok, you didn't understand it properly. So it's interesting, I saw in the Chadashim Gam Yishanim, he brings down that this is exactly the lashon that Rebbe told Rav Chiya in the Gemara elsewhere. And now Rav Chiya learned from Rebbe, and he uses it for his Talmud Chaver over here, Rav Yonasan. In any event, he tells him, this is the drasha. This is how you read that pasuk in Kohelet. When it says over here, the chayim know they're going to die, el sadiki should be misasa nikru chayim. We say, lahabdo bechayim chayim. Right, this God was alive, this God was dead. We say, lahabdo bechayim chayim. They're both alive. We don't say a dead person is dead. They're a gadol, they're a holy erlicha person, so then they're alive in the world to come. We refer to them as alive, even though in this world they're physically dead. That's why we use the expression, l'habda b'chaim l'chaim, when you talk about this person who never passed away, and the wife or the husband that's still alive, you say, l'habda b'chaim l'chaim. So we call the mason chaim. We call a cemetery Eretz HaChaim, right? We call it the live place, right? So we call the grave a kever, which is a womb. It's a live place. They're going to return to life. So in any event, even tzaddikim in their death are called alive.
You call Musta, not
Gaia. Right, yeah, yeah. Same idea. All these euphemisms and expressions are this exact idea. So they're called Chayim. And where we get this from? Pasuk in Shmuel, Shinemar. Now the Sefer Ben Yoyada, which I quote very frequently, so he wrote Sfarim, many Sfarim, right? This is Rav Yosef Chaim, mi Baghdad. He was the Sfaradi Chofetz Chaim. He was a great, great God who lived at the end of the 1800s into the early 1900s, I think, somewhere around there. He's a great, great Talmud Chacham, and he wrote many Sfarim. So he wrote Sfarim, each of his Sfarim, he entitled one of the words in this pasuk. He wrote the Sefer Ben Yoyahu, which I quote many times without necessarily always quoting it in his name, on Brachos. He wrote the Ben Yoyada on Brachos as well. He wrote it on all Agadita's Gemara's. The Ben Yoyada is one of the famous Agadita commentaries. A lot of what I handed out today in the sheet that I handed out, for those on the tape, I handed out a sheet for my Sefer, Women in the Talmud, which they left out for various reasons. This discussion that I'm going to have on the Omid Beis about women. So I handed out for those that are here. Anybody that wants it can ask me for it. I'd be happy to give it to them. So he, the Ben Yoyada, wrote a Sefer, many Svarim, and they each one is one of the words in this pasuk. So he wrote a Sefer Ben-Yo, a Perish Ben-Yoyada. He wrote the famous Ben-Ishchai. That's what he's most famous for. That's his Halacha Sefer. Rav Parlam. So anyway, he wrote all these Sfarim. And anyway, this pasuk says that this great person, Ben-Yo, Ben-Yoyada, he was the Ab Beis Din. And his father was also the Ab Beis Din, Ben-Yo, Ben-Yoda, both great people. Ben-Ishchai, it says he's the son of a live man. The Gemara's going to ask, who's not the son of a live man? So the Gemara will tell us. So Rav Parlam, great things. Mikatzol, Huhiko, Eshnei, Ariel, Moab, he did all these things. He hit the lion over here in the middle of the pit over here, Yom HaShelech. What does this all this mean? We're going to darsh this now. We turn to the Yom HaBeis. So Ben Ishchai, what does that mean over here? He's the Ben Ishchai. Everybody else is the son of a dead person that you call the son of a live person. Ella, Ben Ishchai, Shafil B'min Saso, Kori Chai. Even though he was dead, he's called Chai. That's the idea that we have. That's great tzaddikim called over here in their death, even they're still called alive. What's called Rav Pa'al Mikabtzuel, Shariba Vakivetz Pa'alim LaTorah. He gathered many people together for Torah learning. Vuhiko Shnei Ariel Moav, and he hit the Shnei Ariel Moav. What is that a reference to? Sholinich Kamoso Lo B'Mikdash Rishav Lo B'Mikdash Sheni. The Ariel Moav is a reference to David HaMelech and Shlomo, that they built the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech got the ground, and Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. And then there was nobody as great as Benayo Benayado after that. In the rest of the first and second base of English, he was the equal of anybody else that's over there. So that's what it says. Lo yakumoso b'mikdash rishon, lo b'mikdash sheni. What does that mean? So he could the Amrei the Tovra Gizize the Barda v'Nochas v'Tova. Either Rashi says over here he had Keri, and therefore he went to the Mikvi. This is before Ezra, but he had a Kabbalah also to do like the Takanis Ezra. If he had Keri discharge, he had a seminal discharge, so he went to the Mikvah and he got the ice off the river, and he was willing to go and bathe in the freezing cold waters for this. Hidur mitzvah, this concept that he said you should be tar when you go and learn in David, like Ezra's takana, which is not halacha l'maisa necessarily. In any event, he did this. That's explanation number one. Alternately, others say that he was tamei sheretz. So whatever it was that he was tamei, he went to be tovel in the mikvah. That's one explanation over here. Alternatively, ikadiyami the tana sifra devei rab biyomu de sitva. He learned over here on a regular basis the sifra from rab. That's the midrashim on vayikra. And that was in the long winter months over here at night. So he learned the bedavka at night when it's very cold, very difficult to learn. He learned it. And this means, besol chabor, the Tosa says over here, be'em sasvarim, vayikra is in the middle. You have reisha shvos on one side, and be'midban dvarim on the other side. That's what it means, betol chabor, in the middle over here. Okay. Lots of other interpretations, but we have to go weiter. So he says, v'amei simenam yodim me'uma. Then when it says that the dead don't know what's going on, the opposite over here, that the wicked, even while they're alive, physically, they're called dead. You're over here, a dead person, even in your lifetime already. That the person is being testified against by two or three witnesses, and he's called the mace. So chayu, right now he's alive. We view him over here as a dead person. He was a rasha, and he's going to get misa, so we already call him a mace even during his lifetime. Go a little bit weiter. Rav Chia, we learned in Gemara Nida, just to remind everybody, he had two sons. He had Chia and Yehuda. They were twins, but they were born 3 months apart. Remember, we had that unusual Gemara that they were twins, and they were born 3 months apart. One stayed and started longer than the other. Anyway, they were the famous sons over here of Rav Chia. Yehuda and Chizkiah. They were the two sons of Rav Chia that were twins. In any event, they went out to the cities to check out their properties. And when they went out to work, they forgot their learning. To a certain extent, they didn't retain their learning. And they were very upset about this. So all the Mepharshim say, so what do they go out to work for? Stay in the base manager, stay in Kolel, you won't forget your learning. So some suggest that they did wrong, and others suggest that no, they had to. This was a Yerusha, and you're not allowed to just go and dispense with the Yerusha. So they felt that they had to go do this over here because it was a Yerusha. And a person has to go watch his properties. He says, you don't watch your properties, so you're basically going to lose them. So they have all that they had to. In any event, they're out there, and they lost some of their learning. So they were very, very upset, let Kuri, to go remind themselves of their learning. They tried very hard to regain the learning that they lost. So one of the brothers said to the other brother, doesn't say which one said to which, do you think our father, Rav Chia, who's in the Olam HaEmes, do you think he knows our pain and our suffering? So the other one said to him, how could he possibly know? The pasuk says, he says the children are being honored and the parents in Shemayim, they don't have a clue. They don't know. So he says, no, Rav Chia, our father, doesn't know what we're suffering and going through right here. The other one told him, he says, you don't think he knows? His body is suffering. And he's in Avelis over here. So in other words, he's suffering. So he knows his body is decomposing. It's decaying. And he knows it. He's suffering from it. So they do know what's going on in this world. The insects, the parasites that are on the body of the mace are painful to the mace. Just like a sharp thing in your skin bothers you now, so too the mace when the worms eat them, so it bothers them also. So they do know what's going on. So you have two contradictory psukim. So Amrei bitzara ditu yodei. No, his own pain and suffering he knows. Bitzara di achrina lo yodei. But they don't know what's going on elsewhere in the world. They know their own, but they don't have a clue what's going on in current events, in their children and things like that. So, which is correct? Is this right or not? Below, they don't know what's going on. And here we introduce a very, very famous story. The handout that I gave you over here, again, is from my sefer, discussed it in a lot more detail in the background. We're going to run through the story. We'll start right now. Vatanya, ma'isa b'chosid echod. Whenever you have chosid echod, it means either Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi or Rabbi Yehuda bar Bava. So this is a great, great individual. Shenosan dinar le'oni be'erev Rosh Hashanah. And he handed out his last penny, the Mepharshim explains. He had no money for his family for Rosh Hashanah, but he gave it to an oni. B'shnei Batzoris, in a year of famine, so they really had no food. V'knitaso ishto, and his wife was upset with him. He said, now we have no food. How can you do something like this? I want to read you something from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta learns this totally different. What an unbelievable Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. He says, V'knitaso ishto, he says, he was upset at himself that he got mad at his wife for being upset. His wife had a right to be upset. We're allowed to eat also. We're entitled to have food also. You can't give away everything and we should starve. You don't have a right to do that. And he got upset at his wife, and he was upset at himself for getting upset at his wife because he said she was right and I was wrong. That's the way Rabbi Yisrael Salanta learns this Gemara. In any event, they got into some sort of a sikhsukh. Either she was upset and he left to make peace, or he was upset at himself and he left out of his own upsetness at himself. And he went into the cemetery. He says, nobody's going to bother me over there. So everybody says, how in the world could he go into the cemetery over here? What's he doing? So others suggest that this is all a dream and this didn't actually happen. So in any event, however you want to learn this, again, very, very deep concepts over here. We're just scratching the surface. While he's in the cemetery, he hears two of the Mason talking. If you're over here, Maisa B'chosin Echad, if you're over here, Yehuda Rababa, you hear the Mason talking to each other. Again, L'mala Min HaTeva. He sees two young girls talking to each other. These two ruchos are two young girls. One says to a friend, Chaverti, my friend, Bowie, let's go. Vinoshet Bolim, let's go and fly about the world and see what's going on. Vinishma Mechara Pargud, Maparoni's Boliolim. It was Rosh Hashanah. So they wanted to hear the Psak Din. The Vilna Gaon says it was the next day that this happened. So they want to hear the Psak Din, what's going on in the world? And who's going to die? Who's going to live? So you see what the Rai is going to be from here. You see that they do know what's going on in the world. That's the whole purpose of bringing this story in. So her friend says to her, no, Ini, I can't go. Eni yichola. Shani kvur b'machasel shukonim. I'm buried over here in reeds, and these reeds are hard, and they didn't disintegrate it, and the Mepharshim explained that the body can't leave, the neshama can't leave, while the body's still alive. So I'm tied here, I'm anchored here in some way. The decomposition of the body is good for the neshama. So in any event, she said, I can't leave yet, I haven't decomposed. No, elalichi, you go, at, umash, at, shumas, amili, and you'll tell me what you hear, you'll tell me what's going on in the world. So alchi, so the one that could leave left, vishata, she flies around the world, the boy, she comes back, and says, amili, chaverta, she tells her friend, chaverti, ma shamata, mechore pagut. So the friend who stayed behind said, no, what you hear? And the friend that left said, v'yamala, shamati, she calls a rebbe, rishona, barred malako. So anybody's gonna plant in the first rains. The revia is the rains. So anybody's planting early, so their property is gonna be destroyed by the borrowed, right? Holachu, so Yehuda by law, the Chassid Echad, Yehuda or Bava, whoever it was, the Chassid Echad hears this and he changes around his planting. Everybody else is planting in the first, he says, wait, and he plants afterwards. So Shkola Olim Kulo Laka, everybody else is destroyed. Shalala Laka, his planting didn't destroy, he did well. No, he says, it's a good idea. Next year he comes back, I'll hear them and see what they're saying again. Shono Acheres, Holach, Lomon, the Vesakwaros. Comes back the next year to see what's going on. Same exact story happens again. Misham also stay Ruch, Shiva, Sabbath, Zulum, Zo. They hear them talking to each other. Armu Chon, Lachver, to one says to a friend, Boy, Vinosh, Biolim. Let's go fly around the world. Finish my Chor, Paragu, what's going on? Maparoni's Boli, Olim. All the things that are going to happen in the world. What did the Kosh Boko decree? Armu Chaver, the first says, Lo, Kach, Amarti, look, I told you I can't go. And Yichola, Shani Kuru, Bukhil, Shakonim. So the friend that originally asked her, you can't go the first year, she thought, by now it disintegrated. But the Farshim say, no, it didn't integrate, so she couldn't leave. So he tells the same thing. El Luchiat, you go. Umashat Shumaz Boy of Army Lee. Go and tell me what's going on. Hoch Vishadaval, she goes, flies around and comes back. If you're Amalah Chaverta, the one that stayed by and said, Chaverti, no, Umashamat Bichoria Paragu, what'd you hear? Amalah Shamat, she calls the Rebbe Vias Shneer, she doffed Malako. So this year, anybody that plants in the second crop, they're going to have trouble. So no, this guy reviewed by Reloy, the Chosid Echad, Halach Vizara, Bivir Rishona. He plants early. She called Olam Kulo Nishtav, Shalom no Nishtav. His crop is saved, and the other crop is not saved. We'll stop over here. We're in the middle of the story. This is guaranteed everybody come back tomorrow. This is one of the most fascinating stories in all of Shas. So we'll stop at this point.